I think we'll get started. Thank you for coming. My name is Jim Condelis. I'm the Communications Manager for Flight Services and Support Commercial Aviation Services. And today we have a very interesting briefing for you, our Pilot and Technician Outlook, an overview of our services business as well, particularly on the flight services level. And then we have a very nice customer announcement here with a very important customer for us and a great announcement as well. So let me introduce Sherry Carberry, who is our Vice President of Flight Services, to give us our briefing. Thanks, Sherry.
Thanks, Jim. And thanks, everybody, for being here. Day three of the show. Hopefully, it's going well for all of you. What I want to do is go ahead and go to the next slide, is spend a little while and take you through what Boeing Flight Services is doing in support of the industry around really three critical areas that affect the industry, and that is the aviation resource pipeline, flight optimization, and air traffic management. And these are areas that are actually quite interrelated, and it's, I think, very important that all of us as an industry come together to work on these issues so that we can ensure that sustained and growing integrated aviation system. Okay, so let's go to the next slide. I wanted to highlight that Boeing Commercial Aviation Services, we're really here to serve our customers' needs every day, and we do that by providing world-class customer support around the world. And we also have the largest portfolio of services in the industry. And yesterday, my boss, Mr. Lou Mancini, who's here in the front, actually unveiled the size of the services market at $2.4 trillion over the next 20 years. So it's a very exciting market to be in serving our customers. We also have a Boeing Edge, which is our new service identity. And the Boeing Edge is really all about ensuring the efficiency of airplane operations and airline operations. And we've organized our business like our customers are organized as airlines. So we have material services. It's all about parts, getting the parts to the customer when and where they need them. Fleet services is all around managing the fleet. We have our Gold Care, which is our total solutions program for the customer. And then we have flight services, where I'll spend most of the time today. It's really all about optimizing flight operations for our customers. And then information services. As you think about today's airplanes, they're becoming more and more information laden, and we want to make sure that we can get the information off the airplane efficiently so our customers can make the best decisions. So the critical industry issues, obviously, fleet growth is doubling. It's actually tripled since 1977 to today, and it's going to double again over the next 20 years, from 20,000 airplanes to 40,000 airplanes flying in the next 20 years. And as a result, we're already starting to see the pilot and technician shortage, especially in the emerging markets that are taking a lot of new airplanes, and they don't have the infrastructure, they don't have the people resources, they don't have the assets, they don't have the training schools, the flight schools, to be able to support that growth. Rising fuel prices, you know, we're all aware of that. Just in the last 3 years, prices have doubled. Now, while they've moderated a little bit in the near term, they are expected to continue to go up over time, so it's a concern. Airport capacity, again, going back to the emerging markets, there are not enough airports, there are not enough runways, and the challenge is getting the governments with their budgetary issues and the bureaucracy to invest into the airports so that we have the capacity we need to support the airplanes. And then regulatory harmonization. As the world continues to grow, it's got to grow together so that when an airplane flies through the sky, the regulatory requirements for the airplane and for the airline are seamless and there are no issues. And finally, I think the biggest opportunity is around disruption management. Disruption happens every day. 40% of all flights, on average, are disrupted every day, whether it's from an airport issue, a mechanical issue, weather issue. Disruption happens. And how can we help the airlines minimize disruption and get the airplanes back in the sky as soon as possible? And so this is what we're focused on in Boeing Flight Services. We understand the industry needs. It's all about enhancing safety, improving operational efficiency, and expanding airspace capacity. So we have three areas that we focus on every day. The resource pipeline, making sure that we can meet the global demand for pilots and technicians around the world. Flight optimization, delivering that operationally efficient solution for our customers, because it's all about getting efficiency and productivity for the customer. and air traffic management. We need to modernize the system, and Boeing has a lot of experience and a lot of know-how to help do that. And so this is what we look like around the world. We're a global business. We understand the importance of being close to the customer, and we have 5,000 employees located around the world that do that every day. And when you look at training, and our training campuses are the green box, we have 80 full flight simulators and our Boeing world-class instructors that provide training, maintenance and pilot training, to our customers at 20 campuses around the world. We have invested a lot of money in the assets, in our instructors, and in our courseware so that our customers don't have to make that investment for themselves. And we have Jeppesen, our subsidiary, that has 40 locations around the world, providing that market-leading navigation and flight optimization solutions. So let's look at the resource pipeline. So you all saw this week. Randy Tinseth unveiled our 20-year current market outlook. Just wanted to highlight 34,000 airplanes worth $4.5 trillion over the next 20 years. And when you look, you can see that Asia-Pacific is the dominant growth region at 35% of the market, followed by North America and Europe, and the rest of the region's continuing to grow. So what we do in flight services is we take this and then we do our analysis and our forecast for the number of pilots and technicians that'll be needed to support this growth based on these airplanes around the world. And so we're going to unveil our pilot forecast on the next slide. So new pilots by region for the next 20 years, 460,000 pilots. We have our chief pilot, Mike Carricker, who was on the 787 program back there going, oh my goodness, a lot of pilots. Actually, this number is unchanged from last year, but there have been regional differences. So when you look at it, we've actually seen an increase in every region around the world for new pilots, and we've had that offset by a reduction in pilots in North America. So why is that? North America has a lot of older airplanes, and they were mostly wide bodies or larger airplanes, and as they retire them, they are being replaced with single-aisle airplanes, which require fewer pilots. So the fewer pilots needed in North America, again, offset by the increasing number of pilots elsewhere around the world. Let's look at the technician forecast. 601,000 technicians needed to support those 34,000 airplanes. And again, you see, look at Asia Pacific, 41% are going to go into Asia Pacific. Now, this is down from last year, and the reason for that is very similar. Number one, you've got North America retiring the bigger airplanes, going to smaller airplanes, but you're also replacing them with more fuel-efficient airplanes, like the 787 Dreamliner, and those airplanes require fewer maintenance intervals, as well as the maintenance tools and technologies that are coming out today are making the mechanics more productive and thus the need for fewer technicians over time. But still, the combination of 601,000 technicians and 460,000 pilots, that's over a million resources, critical resources, that are going to be needed to support the growth. So a lot of challenge and opportunity for the industry. So what are we doing? You know, you think about training and you think about tomorrow's workforce that we need to excite and make sure that they come into the industry. Wanted to highlight Facebook. 900 million people. How many people have a Facebook account just in this room? Look, that's like almost, Lou didn't raise his hand. So 99% have a Facebook account. Now, 2 years ago, it was 500 million. And almost 70% of these Facebook users are on Facebook every day talking to their friends and sharing information. That's the tomorrow's workforce that we need to excite. You think about the Apple iPad. It came out in April of 2010. By August, 4 months later, Jeppesen had an iPad app out on the market for airport terminal charts. And they now have over 250,000 downloads by pilots of those terminal charts. 13,000 iPads are already in use by pilots, commercial pilots, and that number is going to skyrocket as soon as it starts to really take off and the apps are available. So what do we need to do? You know, we have to have a new systems approach to training. We have to change the way we train, the way we deliver training, and the way we measure competency as we move into the future. So tomorrow's workforce, they're much more technically savvy. They want information instantaneously. And so we've got to create new training programs, new devices that capture their imagination while maintaining the standards and quality of the training today. So a lot of opportunity there. You know, it's the touch and learn generation or the do and learn generation. So one of the things that we're really working on is how can we bring gaming into the training side of the business so that we can excite that tomorrow's workforce. And the instant information in the interactive classrooms. They don't want to go to a classroom and sit with a manual to learn how to become a pilot. And one of the other things that we continue to invest in is scenario-based training. So when you think about the way people used to train for like recurrent training, they would come in every 6 months and they'd get that same training every 6 months. And what we've started to do is invest in line-oriented scenario training that looks at the causal factors of fatal accidents over the last 10 years. And we've created scenarios that allow the pilots to come in and get training on upset recovery or high altitude stall or two engine out, wind shear, all the things that have caused significant accidents so that when they come in, they're always learning something new every time. And so just a quick look at what we've been doing in support of our customers. We, in the last year, have opened up 3 new locations for training in Stockholm, Baku, and Istanbul. And we continue to place new training assets around the world where our customers need them. So most recently, we just placed a 747-400 full-flight simulator in Shanghai to support the strong growth of the freighter market in China. And we're increasing our local instructors. So when you think about it, we need to bring local instructors to our customers who understand the language and who understand the culture that they're training in. And so we're continuing to do that. And then developing the flight school infrastructure. Now, this is new for us. So historically, Boeing really focused on the commercial pilot, the pilot that had already been through ab initio. But going back again to these emerging markets, the infrastructure isn't there to train the cadet that's right off the street that has no flying experience. So we're reaching back into the high schools, into the flight schools, and into the training centers to make sure that there's a seamless pilot pipeline and an approach to training. So through our subsidiary, Jeppesen, we are now providing ab initio materials. We're actually helping recruit, screen, and select cadets, as well as providing the aviation English training. So we're starting to have that pipeline of pilots so that once they finish their ab initio, they come right to Boeing to our typical training campuses and get their 737 type rating. And we're doing that through global partnerships because, again, it can't just be Boeing. It can't just be the airlines. Everybody has to come together. So we're out working, again, with the universities, the flight schools, the training centers, the airports, the regulators, and the manufacturers along with the airlines. We have to do this together. Maintenance training. Really exciting developments as a result of the 787 where we have taken the fidelity and the operational capability of the Dreamliner and brought it into the classroom, into the full flight simulators, into the desktop maintenance simulators so that you actually learn how to take care of the airplane or fly the airplane in the classroom. And we've got 3D virtual airplane where you actually troubleshoot the airplane in the classroom on your laptop, the same laptop you take out to the plane to troubleshoot on the line. So it's really exciting, and on top of all of that, it's 100% paperless. No paper involved in our training program on the 787. And finally, mobile solutions. Again, as we think about the future and utilizing the latest in technology, we are bringing training into the mobile platform. So I wanted to show you a couple of examples of that. So the first one, this is actually just a panorama of a 777 flight deck. And I'm going to just turn it on because it moves rather slowly. But if you're a pilot or even just an enthusiast, wouldn't it be nice to be able to really see what a 777 flight deck, there's the EFB Class 3, what the flight, oh, there's the fire extinguisher, what the flight deck looks like and spend some time getting accustomed to it and what it looks like. And this will just go around and you can panorama all you want. Now let's go back and take a look at the 787 as an example. Again, you can zoom in and actually see the flight deck of every one of our airplanes. It's just a wonderful way to get familiar, kind of a general familiarization of all of the flight decks, all of the technology that are on our airplanes. There's the dual HUDs, and you've got the dual EFB Class 3. So it's kind of a fun tool. Now, I will take you to a 737 Next Generation training snippet. And it's going to have
After the preliminary pre-flight procedure has been completed, the captain and the first officer must each accomplish a pre-flight procedure. The first officer's pre-flight procedure begins with the flight control panel on the forward overhead panel. Verify that the guards on the flight control switches are closed and that the flight control low pressure lights are illuminated. Next, verify that the guards are closed on the flight spoiler switches. Move the yaw damper switch to the on position and verify that the yaw damper light extinguishes. Moving up and to the right on the same panel, verify that the standby hydraulic low quantity light, the standby hydraulic low pressure light, and the standby rudder on light, if installed, are all extinguished.
Okay, I'm going to stop it right there because what I want to highlight is that was a pre-flight procedure for a 737NG. Now, there's a game that goes along with it. So if you're a pilot in training and you want to make sure that you really understand pre-flight, you can listen to the video and then you can take the game that has you touch the sequence of events on the flight deck. And when you get it wrong, it goes red. And when you get it right, you continue moving. And you get to time yourself. And then you can compare yourself to how other pilots are doing. So it's kind of a competitive thing for the pilots as well. But what's really the value is, if you're a pilot, you're spending time outside of the full flight simulator in an environment of your choosing, really understanding pre-flight procedures, so that when you get into the full flight simulator, you can move through this very quickly and spend time in that very expensive simulator on other more important areas of training. So that's the value of these types of tools. And then finally, just one more, which is our Boeing Quick Reference Handbook. So you think about the Quick Reference Handbook, it's a manual today, right? So what we've done is we've created an electronic mobile version of the checklist. So if we were to go in and let's just pick evacuation checklist, all you do as a pilot is you had an emergency, you need to evacuate, you know, have you set your parking brake, have you set your speed brake, and you just move through here and you check them off. Well, let's just keep going. If time allows, we're doing the verifications, we're going through the cabin, we're advising the tower. Look, we got all the way through, but they noticed that we didn't hit the flap lever in the very beginning. So it will not allow you to exit the checklist until you've actually verified that you moved the flap lever. Now at the bottom, checklist complete. So it's just a nice, number one, you don't have to go find your book and read through it, and it checks you to make sure that you have actually completed the checklist before the procedure is complete. So these are the types of tools that we're investing in to help our pilots be more productive. All right, so moving on to flight optimization. Highlight a few areas that we're looking at. So, you know, today our customers are just demanding those real-time efficiency solutions because fuel costs are 30 to 40% of their operations today. And so we've been investing in real-time in-flight optimization tools that are post-departure, post-planning, where we will send advisories either to the flight deck or to the airline's ops center on how to save time with a more direct-to route that's already been cleared for any conflicts. And you know, you think about it, okay, maybe you save a minute, maybe you save 3 minutes, but 3 minutes times $70 a minute times how many flights a day times how many flights a year adds up to millions very, very quickly, and it's a very easy and elegant solution for the airline. Flight planning and crew management. We've been investing in the next generation of flight planning and crew scheduling. When you think about it, that's another major efficiency solution for our customer that is not integrated well today at the airlines. So as we start to integrate it, there's more and more efficiency. And then information management. You know, the airlines have pretty much gone after all the low-hanging fruit, and they've got all of their point solutions in their siloed operations. So now they're looking to us and to others to help find ways to integrate those systems so that they can make real-time decisions more effectively by all the parties involved. And the big one, again, I talked about it early, is that disruption management. You can't stop a disruption from happening, but when it happens, you can be proactive and efficient on what to do with the airplane, what to do with the passengers, how to get the crews redeployed, and make sure that that airplane is in its right maintenance cycle. So all of those things are so critical, and if you can just help save a little bit of time and get one more airplane flying a day, it's huge, huge savings for the airlines. And then efficient navigation. You know, Jeppesen, again, is leading the industry, moving from those paper navigation charts into the digital environment. The FAA has approved Jeppesen's terminal chart for all phases of flight. And we actually have American and Alaska Airlines in trials right now to start using the iPad for all phases of flight. So it's very exciting. And I just wanted to quickly, let's go to show that one.
And Sherry, why don't you show everyone that's actually on your iPad?
Oh. Oh, yeah, in case I was doing all these things on my iPad. Thanks, Jim. This is the terminal chart for London Heathrow. And so you can see there's multiple different procedures, and you can zoom them out and zoom them in, procedures that are available. And I should let Mr. Carricker say anything that he would like to say about these. But you can, you know, depending on what route you're flying into Heathrow, if you want, they have every kind of, here's the stand entry guidance. Everything you need to know about Heathrow Airport, every type of flight, every type of route you're going to fly at Heathrow is on this terminal chart app. Every airport in the world is on this iPad. This is the future. You're going to walk on to the plane with this iPad and not the 40-pound bag of paper. And eventually, the goal is to get to where everything a pilot needs, the weather information, the takeoff and landing information, the airplane health management information, the crew information, it's all here for the pilot. That's the future. Okay, and then finally, air traffic management. So flights have doubled over the last 20 years. They're going to double again over the next 20 years. And we're already seeing the capacity constraints in the skies. So what are we going to do about it? You know, the U.S. and Europe, they led the way because that's where the traffic was over the last 50 years. But right now, their systems are still 1950s based, very antiquated. They were developed at a time when the airplane wasn't very smart, so we put all the equipment on the ground to manage the airplane. Today, we're on our seventh generation of technology in the airplanes. The airplanes are smarter than the equipment on the ground. And we have got to make the investments to take advantage of the satellite capability that is available today that we all use in our cars, but we're not yet using in the skies with our airplanes. The rest of the world is growing and growing fast. You know, in 1990, only 25% of the traffic was outside of the United States and Europe. In 20 years, 60% of the traffic is going to be outside of the US and Europe, and they don't have the infrastructure. The good news is they don't have the 1950s infrastructure either, so they can actually leapfrog the U.S. and Europe and develop something that's more efficient for themselves. The FAA and EASA are estimating 15% inefficiencies in the skies today. Say that a different way, every major size, large size airline spends or has a cost of half a billion dollars in disruption, $500 million in disruption from inefficiencies today. And we all know that those key hub airports really cause a lot of constraint. So when Heathrow shuts down or when Heathrow becomes congested, the rest of Europe suffers. When Kennedy in New York gets congested, the rest of the United States system has a disruption as well. So we've got to really focus our priorities on those key hub airports. And then we have to ensure harmonization. So the equipage on the airplanes, the operations that we put in place, the procedures and training that we put in place have to be seamless across the globe to ensure that interoperability and the growth that we all are expecting. So my final slide is just a summary. These are the areas that we've been working on, and I've covered them all. I just want to say that while Boeing is investing a lot of time and money in this area, it can't just be Boeing. So we're promoting the appeal of aviation. We all need to be doing that. We all need to be, you know, talking about how sexy this industry is and that it is high tech. We need to be taking everybody out to the air shows so that they can see that Qatar 787 Dreamliner fly. Wasn't it amazing? I mean, that's the future, and that's what we've got to excite people with. Making sure that the flight schools are there and accelerating that transformation for tomorrow's workforce. Continuing to invest in efficiencies. It's all about every minute. Every minute matters for the airline, and so we've got to be working on it. And we've got to improve the skies at the same time. They're so interrelated, and so it's an exciting opportunity. 34,000 new airplanes depend on these things improving. And that's not just for our airline customers. That's for the world growth, right? Air travel drives GDP growth.